This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway. For the week of March 17th, 2024, a sense of relief among Arkansas's Marshallese community. Federal lawmakers approved new agreements with the Marshall Islands, Micronesia, and Palau earlier this month as part of the $460 billion spending package averting a partial government shutdown. The United States maintains compacts with these three Pacific Island nations, allowing the U.S. to maintain a military presence in exchange for economic and security assistance. The agreements also allow residents of the island nations to live in the United States as lawful non-immigrants. More than 94,000 citizens of these freely associated states live in the United States, including around 8,300 Marshallese residing in Arkansas. The natural state has the largest Marshallese population outside of the Marshall Islands. Michelle Pedro serves as the policy director and communications specialist for the Arkansas Coalition of Marshallese.
It's a really great investment for both people. For both governments.
The United States was supposed to renew its compacts with the Marshall Islands and Micronesia before last October. The agreement involving Palau was originally set to expire this September. Federal lawmakers have emphasized the importance of approving new compacts in part to address China's growing influence in the Indo-Pacific. Pedro acknowledges a nervousness in recent months with the United States and the Marshall Islands not having a new compact in place.
Very anxious that it wouldn't happen, and you know, we would have to switch gears if our president were to turn to China, of all places.
Most of the Marshallese in Arkansas reside in the northwest portion of the state. Representative Steve Womack of Rogers, who represents northwest Arkansas, helped lead a letter to House Speaker Mike Johnson late last month calling for the compacts to be renewed.
Well, we scared the hell out of some people. You know, our failure to get this agreement, compact of free association agreement, across the finish line early, there was a lot of rumors going around. It's kind of spooked a little bit of the Marshallese community about whether or not they were going to be targeted and deported and those kinds of things. And you just can't have that.
Members of Congress had been working on legislation renewing the compacts. The House of Representatives Natural Resources Committee favorably reported a bill in November extending the three compacts through September 2043, with $6.5 billion in assistance to the Pacific Island nations. The Marshall Islands share $2.3 billion, including $700 million, for addressing the needs of people affected by American weapons tests over the island nation during the 1940s and 1950s. Congressional appropriators inserted this bill in the spending package, which lawmakers approved to avoid a government shutdown after March 8th. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs serves as the House Natural Resources Committee chairman and oversaw the committee's effort to renew the compacts.
If you study what Japan did down there before World War II, you can see China making a lot of the same moves, and we can't allow China to create footholds in these island countries that very small landmass, but spread out over an area larger than the geography of the U.S.
The measure also includes language affecting access to government services. Citizens of the Pacific Island nations living in the United States can access more federal programs, including nutrition benefits like SNAP, for the first time since losing eligibility following the 1996 welfare overhaul effort. Pedro says access to these programs is an economic justice issue.
Part of that is how food insecurity has really impacted a lot of people here in Arkansas.
The Arkansas Coalition of Marshallese is preparing to field calls to help people access these programs. In the meantime, Pedro says there is a sense of joy with the United States and the Marshall Islands finally having a renewed compact in place.
People are realizing that the U.S. does recognize us as partners in this relationship.
Womack and Senator John Bozeman of Rogers were part of a bicameral push for the change involving the federal programs, joining Senator Mazie Hirono and Representative Ed Case, both Democrats representing Hawaii. Arkansas's four House members supporting legislation requiring TikTok's parent company to sell the social media platform or risk a nationwide ban. The House overwhelmingly passed the bill last Wednesday. Federal lawmakers have been vocal regarding their concerns about Chinese company ByteDance, TikTok's owner, arguing that because ByteDance is subject to Chinese national security law, the Chinese government could access the data of American TikTok users. TikTok has insisted it stores the data of American users in U.S. facilities, but that has not been enough to quell worries in Washington. Representative Franchil of Little Rock saying TikTok is using Chinese technology to, quote, gather massive amounts of data on American citizens, posing a major national security risk. Hill and Representative Rick Crawford of Jonesboro serve on the House Intelligence Committee. Senator Tom Cotton waiting for the Senate's turn to vote on the bill. The senator from Little Rock telling the Arkansas Democrat Gazette the United States should either ban TikTok or force the sale to happen. President Joe Biden has said he would sign the bill if Congress passes legislation. If the measure does become law, ByteDance would have 180 days to sell TikTok. A new congressional report detailing multiple policy recommendations for improving the nation's agricultural workforce. The House's Agricultural Labor Working Group issued its final report with 21 policy ideas for colleagues to consider. The House Agriculture Committee formed the working group last June, emphasizing how producers are relying more on the federal H-2A visa program, hiring foreign workers on a temporary basis to meet labor needs. The Department of Labor recorded nearly 390,000 position requests between October 2022 and September 2023. Most of the workers in the program are citizens of Mexico. Representative Crawford and Representative Don Davis of North Carolina serving as the working group's co-chairs. As Crawford explains, the working group focused on outreach in the months following its launch.
A lot of meetings, roundtables with stakeholders, farmers, legal experts on the program, government officials, unions, anybody that has any kind of relationship to the H-2A program.
Crawford and Davis represent different parties. Crawford is a Republican and Davis is a Democrat, but their districts share similarities in terms of agriculture. Arkansas's 1st Congressional District comprises of the Mississippi Delta and the core of crop production in Arkansas, while North Carolina's 1st District includes counties leading the Tar Heel State in cotton, peanut, and soybean production.
He and I have become friends through this process, and I think we turned out a fantastic product that these committees of authority will now take very seriously, particularly when, you know, the chairman and the ranking member of the Ag Committee put their weight behind it and say, look, this is what we've come up with. This isn't just, you know, off the cuff, couple weeks worth of research.
The group approved 15 recommendations unanimously and agreed on 6 additional suggestions with a majority of members in support. The list includes calls for streamlining the application and recruitment processes related to the H-2A program, as well as flexibility for calculating wages for temporary workers. Something not on the list, immigration policy ideas. Members of Congress have spent months debating proposals addressing the number of migrants entering the United States and security at the U.S.-Mexico border. Davis says this was a deliberate move.
We wanted to make sure that we stayed entirely focused on H-2A. H-2A was put in place in the mid-80s, and we're really looking to upgrade where we are to enhance the H-2A program. And we intentionally wanted to shy away from the immigration conversations and focus entirely on H-2A.
One bit of irony with the recommendations, even though the House Agriculture Committee launched the working group, issues involving labor fall outside of the committee's jurisdiction. Crawford, however, expressing confidence that other committees will consider the recommendations, given the working group's bipartisan efforts in putting the report together. Congress facing another deadline for avoiding a government shutdown. Lawmakers have to pass remaining spending measures before the end of the day Friday after approving the first 6 bills earlier this month as part of the spending package mentioned at the top of the episode. Representative Womack notes passing the second package will be a challenge, given the measure includes the defense spending bill.
To get one, you got to vote for the others, and that's always a challenge to get a majority of the majority to want to vote for those things because there's too much in it that you don't like.
Womack serves as a senior House appropriator. His bill covering financial services and general government operations has yet to receive full congressional approval. Senator Bozeman is a Senate appropriator, serving as the top Republican on the subcommittee handling military construction and veterans affairs. His subcommittee's bill was part of the first spending package. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of March 17th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can get in touch with me on social media. My handle is at Alex House Thomas. Special thanks to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.